to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I am here with Caitlin Johnstone, the rogue journalist, okay? And I am Kim.com. Welcome. We are here to talk about Caitlin's latest article. Caitlin, how are you doing?
I'm great, Kim. I'm surprised to see you here.
Did you
this
see...
What you maybe should have let me know you were coming, but anyway, yeah.
Did you see my appearance with Susie Dawson and Elizabeth Lee Voss earlier today?
I did. I enjoyed it very much.
We talked about WikiLeaks and the deep state and the media, as well as the Trump dossier. Did you hear when we were talking about the Trump dossier?
Yes, I did. I did hear about that.
We talked about Julian Assange, Seth Rich. They covered up Seth Rich's murder. And it is up to us to advance WikiLeaks and defend WikiLeaks to fight the deep state.
Yes. That's great. I don't know what else to say to you, Kim. But
tell us about your latest article.
No. I just want to... Actually, we should just give that a plug, though.
That
was really cool.
Yeah, everyone should watch that. That was... It's everywhere. Kim.com, Elizabeth Lee Voss, Susie Dawson, they all got together and chatted about the revolution, basically. They talked about Susie's brilliant article... being Julian Assange.
Yeah.
Which is really great. Everyone should read that as well. But they got into this just discussion about how basically to take the revolution to the bastards.
It was a really inspiring thing to watch, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Susie especially, like, you know, she's so grounded and so solid. Like, she's been fighting the good fight for so long now.
So knowledgeable and so lucid as to what the problems are.
Yes, but also, like, so great on giving you ideas for...
Strategy, yeah.
Strategy, yeah.
Yeah.
She's really, really good at you know... I think the point that I really wanted to make that she made in that was that, you know, people can get very despondent and think, oh, shit, I don't even, like, the problems are too big. What do I do? I can't, I'm just one person. I would love to organize a rally or something like that, but I can't do that. Mm. And it's... True. Not all of us can organize rallies, but you can do something.
Right.
And only you know what that is, you know? You might be really good at graphic design and making, like, you know, memes or stickers was one of the things that she said.
Make dank memes. Everyone should make dank memes defending WikiLeaks. Because here's the real mindfuck, okay? We are... fighting the media and the deep state, all of us together, and we are winning. We are taking the fight to them.
I really wish this was television because you've got all the arm actions and everything.
gestures. His hand gestures are fun.
Yeah. So I thought that was that really got me going. Anyway, so yeah, back to the article. 6 things we can learn about US plutocracy by looking at Jeff Bezos. But look him in the eye. Look between the eyes. Look between.
I do not enjoy looking at Jeff Bezos.
No, I do not either.
He looks like all of the supervillains.
How did that even happen? It's like he woke up one morning and went, I am going to look like Dr. Evil.
Yeah, and you look at him before when he had, like, hair and stuff. He looks like this kind of nerdy, friendly guy.
Right.
And he's like, nah, you got to look way more evil. So everyone knows. Everyone knows I'm coming for them. I want you all to know that I'm going to destroy you.
As the nerdy guy, though, you got to admit that there was, you know, like a touch of the Silence of the Lambs to him as well. Like, he's never really looked like...
He's not someone I would ever turn my back on.
No. Yeah. And, you know, like, there is a theory that... people do these things, you know, they get ambitious so that basically for sex. Like, this guy has had to do a lot of work just to get some sex.
Okay, now I'm the richest man in the world. Will someone please fuck me?
Come on.
I'm the very richest. Donald Trump can get with porn stars, for fuck's sake. Come on.
I'm pretty sure he'd still struggle. I really do think that. Because there's married? Something so creepy
no,
with him.
No, I've seen pictures of him with some babe on his arm who I assume was his
probably
wife.
Probably paid her. Okay, anyway. Right, so number one, the six things. The six things we can learn about US plutocracy. Number one is the rich rule America because of a system wherein money translates directly into political power.
Tell us about that.
Well, you can see, you know, Jeff Bezos rose very fast. Like, and that's why he's such a great case study, because a lot of, you know, these rich old dudes, like, they've come from old money, you know, sometimes centuries old. And so that all of that sort of clawing to the top happened behind the scenes, you know, when there was like barely newspapers, like, and if there was,
people, they owned them.
They owned them. People couldn't read, you know. It was all very clouded in secrecy. This guy, you know, in 1997, he was pretty much Joe Average. Like, and so we've watched all of this via the internet of how he's done it. And how he has done it is that he spends a hell of a lot of money lobbying, like a fuckload of money lobbying. He, I think it was, yeah, like he's increased his lobbying budget in Washington by 400% in the last like 5 years.
Well over 10 million last year, like just for lobbying alone.
Right.
12, 13 million, something like that.
So, you know, of course, when we use the word lobbying, we do mean bribery.
Yeah, it's legalized bribery. You just can do that in America.
Yeah.
That's a thing. It's just...
And it does work. And it has skewed power to the point now where the average voter has no influence whatsoever over politicians, like might as well roll a dice sort of influence. And the richest of the rich pretty much get exactly what they ask for.
Yeah, you spend a few million dollars and you get to keep billions. They do it because it's a worthwhile investment.
Yeah.
You control the political climate in such a way that to make sure that it's very, very friendly to the wealthy.
Mm-hmm. And so that's been put in place over the years. There's, you know, a few key court cases that have made that possible, including the infamous Citizens United case.
Yeah, and that was just kind of the icing on the cake. The cake was already baked, though. People talk about Citizens United more than they talk about any of the other ones. But like that video you put in there that Cenk Uygur talks about, it was already basically locked in place before Citizens United. There was a bunch of legislation that just put more and more money in power, and Citizens United was basically kicking a dead horse.
That's a really good video too.
Check it out. Like, just because it's jank doesn't mean it's not good. Yeah.
Yeah, no. I mean, you know, he does say good things. It's like,
so yeah, and that's why like deregulation as well. Like that's why the what do you call it, the net neutrality thing died is because they keep lobbying for deregulation, privatization, whatever can make them a buck. Just give more and more power to corporations.
Yes, well, it's, you know, basically, it's like the golden river of taxes, isn't it? Taxes is like an amazing way to... I used to have my own business, right? And and I didn't have it very long, but like I had it long enough to actually be making government tenders and occasionally scoring the odd government job. Government jobs are fantastic, like, because they are, you know, you're going to get paid,
right.
You know, you don't always know that with corporations and things like that. It's all a bit up in the air until you actually get the money. You're not sure. You know, you're going to get paid. They'll often go in, you know, give you upfront money, which is really unusual. And you can charge more. People just know that you can charge more. So if you can get some government contracts, they are fantastic for your
Amazon
business.
Amazon has a lot of government contracts.
A lot of them,
A lot of shady ones.
Yeah. So
we'll get into that later, though.
Right. So money equals power, and power is relative. Plutocrats are naturally incentivized to keep the public poor.
That's two.
That's number two, yeah. I thought you were saying that's two things. I was like, no, it's not. No, so, what are you saying?
So number two. So,
the first one is. The rich rule America because of a system wherein money translates directly into political power. Mm. And then in a system where money equals power, the people at the top are incentivized to keep people poor because you cannot be the king if everyone else is a king. You know, that's not the same thing. Right. If we're all living fine and everyone's got what they need and everything, then everyone else will have enough money, you know, to perhaps influence the political system.
Right, yeah.
So even if it's piecemeal, like it was with Bernie Sanders, you know, $27 is not a lot of money, but if you throw it together with, you know, like millions of people can come together and make a real change. So in the cruel minds of these ambitious sociopaths, 2016 taught them one thing and one thing only, that is that the American people should never have any spare change hanging around.
Right, yeah. Yeah, they're so afraid of the unwashed masses.
Yeah.
Everything about their behavior
shows that, doesn't it?
Mm.
Yeah, their actions really do show that they are very, very, very scared of us.
They know they're outnumbered, and so they have a lot of measures in place to make sure that everyone doesn't bust out the guillotines again.
And they must know deeply that it's all built on an illusion anyway.
Mm.
This is all an agreement. We all agree that money means something.
That's true too. That would be a much easier way to stick it to them.
Yeah.
If everyone was like, all right, well, you 11 guys who rule everything, you can just keep pretending to be kings if you want to, but we're going to completely change the way money works.
Yeah. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? Like it just doesn't work that way anymore. And what, 11 people are going to, you know, complain about that? Well, they can have a whinge about that. The rest of us will just get on with actually, you know, trading in a fair way.
But no, you guys, we're in charge. Yeah, you're the ones who are going to kill us all, though.
Yeah, that's right.
We're not doing that no more.
We just decided that, you know, thanks for your time, but we'll be taking it from here. Yeah. Anyway, so that's...
So yeah, they gotta keep everyone poor because money equals power, and like if everyone had $1 million, then nobody would have any power since power is relative, right?
Exactly. So yeah, the larger the Amazon empire grows, the more of its competition dies, and the lower wages get.
So they actually are directly participating in helping to create that gap.
Yes, in every way. So that, you know, it's not just about keeping healthcare from people so that they keep them really poor, or making sure there is no, you know, living wage or anything like that. There's also just the fact that when Amazon moves in, it sucks up all the retail jobs, and then because there's no competition, it just lowers the wages. And to the point now where, you know, the average Amazon worker their conditions are awful.
Some of them are on food stamps, I saw.
Yeah, which is all Walmart welfare. We've got the Walmart family to thank for that.
These companies, these corporations get away with paying barely any taxes. And they kill businesses, and they get all these subsidies and government contracts and stuff. So the money's only going one way, and also the government is picking up the bill for the fact that they don't pay their employees.
Yeah, so it's just welfare, like, but for the rich.
Mm.
So, yeah, Amazon's been onto that too, of course. Jeff Bezos was like, well, that's a good idea. So, like, why don't we just get the government to feed my workers? I won't have to do it myself. I won't have to give him any money. So,
fucking eel.
Yeah, isn't he an eel? He is an eel. Yeah. So, we bought Washington Post.
We're on number three now.
Yeah, but I talked about the 16 smear pieces in 16 hours. Oh, I just like to mention that whenever. I just like talking about it.
We should talk about that every episode, really.
Yeah.
It's so egregious. Tell them the background of that.
Right. Well, during the hottest point of the Democratic primary, so the DNC was, like, you know, running apparently a fair primary. But even if it was a fair primary, the media was running often a campaign of blacking him out. And then when he did pop out, and when they were like, all right, we've got to cover this guy because, you know, he won New Hampshire, I think it was.
Yeah, that was one of the early ones, right. And then there was this state, was it Michigan? I think it was Michigan.
Michigan,
that
yeah.
That was a really tight, important, crucial race.
And he won.
Right.
So they were like, well, we can't actually ignore him anymore because that would look really weird. Washington Post ran 16 smear pieces in 16 hours. The Washington Post, you know, which at the time too, like, I think, that smut rag. But at the time, still had some of the esteem that we, you know, think of when we think of Woodward and Bernstein. Like,
right, yeah. And that was when people started paying attention to the fact that Bezos had bought Washington Post in 2013.
Yes.
Just a little while before.
Yes. It suddenly was like, hang on, what the hell is going on here?
What is this CIA contractor doing?
Yeah, with his newspaper. Well, he's not, you know, he didn't buy the newspaper to make, like, a buck. Newspapers right. were dying everywhere.
This guy with this visionary who's able to really predict all these trends. Just like, wait, I mean, I could... The selling things on the internet, that's the future, and he's able to create the exact perfect way to make that happen. Didn't also go, yeah, and maybe newspapers are coming back.
The retro thing. The hipsters. The new vinyl. So, yeah, anyway, so I just like to mention that because that was really like where he stepped out, the Washington Post made itself known as the most virulent establishment CIA rag.
Yeah, and they've been getting like worse and worse, it seems like. Just more and more blatant. Really aggressive about advancing establishment narratives and even shutting down anyone who tries to advance a counter narrative.
Yeah. So number three, controlling the media is very important to plutocrats. So it kind of did lead into that.
Mm.
So I put my favorite video of of Amy Goodman. A few of my favorite videos went into this.
Yeah, you use those repeatedly. But like, I mean, that's what... Robert Perry did a lot. He did a lot of the same repeating themes, just reminding everyone of what's going on. It's a good practice.
Well, it's really important, I think. Like, I followed his advice on that, is that the news churn will churn our minds, you know, and before you know it, 6 months later, you're thinking left is right and right is left again. It's really difficult to maintain a solid understanding of what actually happened because they are constantly gaslighting, constantly moving everyone, you know, into, well, no, that didn't really happen, this kind of happened, no, that didn't really happen, this kind of happened. So it is important just to keep going back to some basic facts about what actually happened, which is why I'm going hardcore on March 20 coming up. Is going to be the anniversary of the Iraq War, only 15 years since the Iraq War.
Which everyone seems to have forgotten about, or at least forgotten all the lessons of.
Yeah, just cleared their mind completely. So, Robert Perry, he left a lot of really good lessons for journalists. I felt the way that he conducted himself, but also the sort of principles that he kept going back to, keep reminding people of what actually happened. So that's why I don't mind repeating myself, even though it might be boring for my everyday readers. But
no, it's probably good for them too, just because like like you said, the news turn gets people off course and stuff, and it's able, it's good to just go, no.
Yeah, I really like to get the oh, that's right, like, response from people, like, oh my God, that's right, they did do that, like, so, and that's what we, that's another thing that we can do for each other all the time, is just really helps to go into a thread or whatever and just, you know, you might be thinking, oh, well, everyone remembers that, but they don't always, you know, yeah. add your little bits of info in.
Yeah, that's why it's good to make connections with other clear-eyed rebels, so that you can keep each other on track and go, no, you're not crazy. Yeah. The Russia thing is still bullshit.
Right, yeah.
It was bullshit yesterday, it's bullshit today. It didn't suddenly stop becoming bullshit because the peer pressure got too much for you.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. But also, like, how often do I post a story and then a couple of people will come up and say, oh, well, actually, did you know that he... And then they will give some information that I didn't know or right. had forgotten and was like, oh my God, that's so relevant. Right. Like that's so, yeah, just you've got a wealth of info there, a lifetime of info that you can lean back on too and actually keep sharing. So that's another thing. Just I'm so excited about what Susie and like Kim and Elizabeth said today about the revolution is very exciting to me. You know, these are things that we can just do every day, all the time.
Yeah.
So this is controlling the media is very important to the plutocrats. Yes. And that's, you know, Jeff didn't wake up one morning and think, oh my God, yes, newspapers, that's where it's at. Let me buy up the Washington Post or whatever. There was a very important chess piece for him. It's been, you know, every brand needs its advertising, and the more obscure but the advertising can be, the better. And you might say, well, the Washington Post doesn't run Amazon stories all the time. No, but it always runs plutocrat.
This is why Caitlin is a writer, everyone.
I'm not a good talker. My fingers work a lot better than my mouth. Plutocrat friendly. Yeah.
There you go.
Establishment friendly stories, like constantly reinforcing this. You know,
they're not advertising Amazon. They're advertising the establishment upon which Amazon is built and which makes Amazon possible.
Right, and so. Him and all his mates, basically, the CIA, the, you know, the Pentagon, he's, you know, not just a CIA contractor, but he is also on a Pentagon board. He's got, that's number five, actually, I think. But anyway, I keep moving ahead of myself.
That's okay. We're zigging and zagging.
So it's very important to, especially like, because these ideas, you know, these establishment ideas, aren't actually common sense. They're not logical, really, to everyday people. For most people, you're like, well, look, we'll look after each other, and then that keeps crime down because everyone's happy. And, you know, don't bomb people unless you've got a real, like, they're coming at you. You just defend yourself. You don't go in attacking. Like, none of those things that they do make any sense to normal people. So you've got to constantly be bombarding people with advertising.
Oh, yeah, this makes perfect sense. this is why it makes perfect sense for Trump to send millions of dollars worth of missiles onto a Syrian airbase.
Right, yeah. Yeah, that's not, like, yeah. And we don't need that money at home. Oh, yeah, we do. No, you don't need that money at home. It's more important that it goes there, right, guys? It is, guys, okay, yeah? So, yeah, it's like because these stories, the way that they want us to think is so bizarre. It's so counterintuitive to life. It is constantly, you know, the only way that it solves problems is killing people overseas while starving to people to death at home, like, none of it makes sense. You do need propaganda just constantly pumping people with, it's fine, this is normal.
Yeah, otherwise it makes absolutely nobody, like if someone came in from an alternate reality where everything was fine and society was healthy, they would look around and go, what the fuck? Why are you doing this? This is the most crazy way you could possibly be living. They would just, And I think deep inside a lot of people know that. They know that this is not right. You know, if you go online, you'll encounter people who've been totally brainwashed and they're like, oh yeah, well, you're just, you like ponies and unicorns and you think health is normal and you're wrong. But deep inside, I think everyone kind of knows that this is not right and this is not how things are supposed to be.
Yeah, well, you can't go in, if you go into a city and there are like tenths of people everywhere that are living, you know, rough on the streets, and they're humans, like they're normal humans, and there's so many of them. This can't be just, you know, like some quirky guy who thinks of, like, it's kind of cool to live on the street or whatever. These are people desperately just trying to eke out an existence. You can't possibly think that that's normal.
Yeah, I'm from the San Francisco area, and there's this neighborhood in San Francisco called the Tenderloin, where it's just everyone, there's homeless people everywhere. It looks like a third world country. And you go two blocks away, and there's these multi-billion-dollar corporations with skyscrapers.
Right.
And it's just shining and people doing their shopping there. How compartmentalized can you possibly be to think that's normal? You just have to get hit in the face every motherfucking day with this bullshit to normalize that.
Because there are people who work in those big shiny buildings too that are basically going home. You know, I've read stories of, you know, people who, lower level people who work at Yelp and things like that. Like, so these big, you know, Silicon Valley companies that aren't earning a living wage, living off the promise of perhaps, you know, in the years to come, maybe making some better money, but at this point can't afford heating in their own place. You know, sometimes not even sure if they can afford petrol to get to work.
That's what the American dream is now. The American dream now is hoping maybe someday you might be able to afford gasoline in your car.
You really do. I mean, you really, really do need to sing people a lullaby the whole time. Because it's just wrong. It's just clearly fucking wrong.
Right. Yeah. The only thing stopping people from just waking up screaming every morning.
Yeah.
Is that lullaby.
Yeah. And just. Anyway, so that's the importance of propaganda. That's the importance of the media. The number four is plutocrats. I'm gonna have trouble with that word.
You don't do well with that word.
Plutocrats. Form alliances with defense and intelligence agencies. And there's a tweet here of Jeff Bezos.
With his buddy Mattis.
Mattis. Mad Dog Mattis. He's taking him through the Amazon headquarters.
Just chilling, bro.
With Mad Dog.
Two bros. That's normal. Most powerful plutocrat in America and the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, so we know that, like, you know, this is a scary fucking thing too. There's Alexa. I made a little video today. I'm not sure about it. But anyway.
Oh, yeah. That was great. Caitlin made a video of Alexa. You know, that everyone was freaking out because Alexa laughs now. She put that sound over the video of the people getting thrown off that ski lift. Because the ski lift was attacking the people.
Yeah. But, yeah. Because
it was funny.
Well, I knew you'd think it was funny. That's why I kind of made it. But, like, also kind of spooky and scary because I hate the whole, I just hate the fact that people are buying their own surveillance devices and putting them in their house. And then
we'll never predict that one. Not only will we be practicing domestic espionage, we're going to make you pay for it.
So Amazon has these Alexa machines or whatever. He's also making all these alliances with he sits on a Pentagon board. He's a CIA contractor.
He also lobbied really hard to get that deal a while back. He wrote about this a couple months ago, I think, with the Pentagon, that there was like legislation changed so that the Amazon would dominate the sales to the Pentagon.
Right. So number five is the people willing to do anything it takes to the top are the ones who get there. And that's when I saved my very favorite photo of Mr. Bezos eating an iguana.
Like a whole, like it's not just like, it's not like cut up like chicken or something. It's a whole iguana on a plate. And it looks like it could be alive, but it's not. It's like baked or something. And there's like flower blossoms on it. And he's just chomping into it like an alligator.
I don't know why they thought the flower blossoms made it any better.
Why did he let himself be photographed like that? You would never see a more seasoned plutocrat do that. You would never see like a Rothschild or a Rockefeller yeah. allowing himself to be photographed chomping into an iguana. He's, you know what? That'll probably come back and haunt me, so no thank you.
He looks so devilish in it, too.
We're trying to humanize the rich here, not make them look more creepy.
That's what someone said in the comments. It's so funny how sociopaths look exactly like you'd think sociopaths look. It is kind of funny that way.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've heard that there's kind of a, there's a, we have sort of a defense mechanism. We get creeped out by people like that.
Yeah, that's why we were talking about that last one. It's important to dig into your sense of creepiness, because people who appear to be creepy, often you should just stay away from. Don't let your, you know, I have been guilty before of going, oh, he's creepy. Oh, he's so creepy.
Who's going to take care of him?
No one likes
Nobody
him.
Nobody will ever love him.
I'll be friendly. I'll be friendly with him. Don't do that. That's a bad idea.
Don't be one of those people. Yeah. That's a bad use of compassion.
It really is. So, yeah. And that's the thing. Sociopaths will do anything to get to... They have no empathy. And so they therefore don't care. Like, there's not anything stopping them from doing pretty much anything to get what they want. There's no kind of, you know, sense of horror that you might be hurting someone, or that, like... Yeah, it's a total decimation of goodwill currency, actually, as well. They just mow through the goodwill currency.
I don't need goodwill currency because I'm going to be the richest person in the world. I'll buy my goodwill.
Yes. So, because goodwill currency does exist. It just kind of goes alongside money currency. But if you have enough money, you don't have to do that.
No.
Like, you know.
And so he's got no problem killing businesses and starving his employees, and while Amazon pays no taxes and all that kind of stuff, and, you know, making CIA deals and shit.
Yeah, normal people just wouldn't be happy with
kicking
that.
Kicking WikiLeaks off their servers is whatever, fine.
Yeah.
Whatever gets me ahead.
Like, most people who run a small business or whatever, they you know, their first employee, they treat like family, you know, they get to know them. They want, you know, they know their kids' names and stuff, and they like know their birthdays. And then it's because you're kind of inviting them into your family, really. Like, you know, when I had my business, it was a very, like, I felt very responsible for them, that, you know, that I had to make sure there was enough money for the wages and all of that sort of thing, and to make sure that they had a good time at work and that they weren't like, you know, that's probably why I wasn't that great at it.
You weren't sociopathic enough, Caitlin.
Yeah, but
that's the idea. It's the sociopaths in our current system get ahead. because to them, employees are resources. They're human resources, and they're just heads for you to step on as you climb up the ladder. Those are the ones who wind up getting in charge and getting the most money. And in a system where money equals power, that means we wind up ruled by sociopaths, which illustrates perfectly exactly why the world looks the way it works, the way it looks right now.
Yeah. So that was number five. And number six, and this I think is really important for everyone in Grok, it will never be enough for them. When your ego runs unchecked like that, the hungry ghost that, you know, exists in all of us, and like we all have it to some degree, but if you have no empathy and you're willing to do whatever it takes, there is nothing stopping you, and there is nothing that will sate you. There's no point where your ambition runs out and you go, oh, I'm happy, because these people aren't ever happy. That's not their thing. They don't ever like look around and go, oh, life is good. Here I am with my family. The sun is shining. Like, you know, I've got full belly, everything I need. That's just not the sorts of creature that they are. Like,
no, a normal, healthy person would, once they made enough money to retire and put their kids to college, they would stop and enjoy life.
Because it's the point of money, really, is it? Like, the point of money and security is to make enough so that you're secure, so that you can relax, have a good time, have right. a lot of free time, have but some hobbies.
Even a lot of criminals see money that way. They just have a dream of pulling off one final heist and going off to the Bahamas.
Yeah.
For the rest of their lives. These sociopathic plutocrats, they lack that part of themselves which says enough.
Yeah.
They just don't have it. They like we talk about a lot, the impulse to get ahead in your primate tribe is hardwired deeply, because, you know, like in a ape tribe or a monkey tribe, the one at the top of the tribe is the one who gets food rights. They get to eat first, and breeding rights. Life is pretty cool, and those are our evolutionary ancestors. So there's this deep drive to get to the top of your tribe, and when you've got a new species of primate with these extremely evolved brains, these massive prefrontal cortexes capable of tremendous feats of abstract thought, interacting on a global scale, what you get is just this cancer that won't stop growing. It will not stop metastasizing until it is stopped by just like Newtonian physics.
Right. And that is why the revolution will also necessarily be an evolution as well, because, you know, as much as it's easy to point at, you know, the 11 or so people at the top who are driving this, our hungry ghosts are driving this as well. Our fears, our insecurities, our desire to get ahead and stuff like that. They are all things that need to evolve.
Those are the strings that the plutocratic propaganda machines pull on, right?
Yeah.
Be afraid of these guys. Do this and you'll get ahead. Chase that. Chase that carrot. Chase it. Run on that treadmill chasing that carrot. That's what fuels the whole machine.
The American dream.
Yeah. But since these people in charge, in particular, since they have that evolutionary drive to conquer as many humans as possible and take as much control as they can, and it isn't tempered by any sort of empathy, they lack that part of themselves, it's just going to keep going until it kills us all.
Also, don't you think, though, I just being that it's not just tempered by empathy, but they're miserable pricks. These guys do not know how to have a good time.
Well, I don't think they value happiness. I don't think that's at the something they really consider. It's just power. It's how much power do I have? How do I get more?
Yeah, so they are shaped differently to a lot of lot of people. Yeah,
no, it's not happiness and sad. It's ones and zeros.
Yes,
it's am I advancing or retreating? Am I gaining more power or having power taken from me? If I'm having power taken from me, how do I avenge that?
Yeah, it's a very kind of simplistic way of existing, whereas most people are more complex than that. Yeah. Most people, you know, do really value a lot of other things other than power. I mean, to reduce it to just an evolutionary drive, there is also an evolutionary drive to connect.
Right, yeah, and to empathize. That's most people have that. Most people have this whole other dimension of interacting with their fellow humans that these people just don't.
And creating with them, you know, collaborating with them to make something really cool. Yeah. Anyway, so that is the point, though. The thing is, they're not just going to stop. Jeff right. Bezos, Emmy's got more and more ambitious. He's more ambitious than ever right now. He could not have... He's got the most money out of anyone in the world, and he's just got more and more plans.
If he could get away with buying his own military right now,
he would.
Just having an Amazon Navy, he would totally do it. Amazon Air Force.
When you look at the way he's moving, all his movements are pointing in that direction. He does... It looks like he is making moves to control the underlying infrastructure of not just America, but the way that we operate as a planet, you know? Mm. So, this is... No one's going to stop him if we don't.
Yeah, it's not like the magical free market economics fairy is not going to come in and solve this problem for us. It's not going to, he's got enough money to buy several countries. That should be enough for him. Nah.
Yeah.
No, they're just going to keep taking and taking and taking.
Right. And that, sorry, Mr. Libertarians, but that requires, like, stepping in. Mm. Regulation.
But it involves the people taking more for themselves.
Yeah, these companies that he owns needs to be split up, and they need to, you can't monopolize the planet like that.
Or just change the way money works. Change the thing that these people are building their empires upon so that they cannot do the thing that they do. Change the system where sociopathy is rewarded with a crown making you an emperor.
Right.
Don't allow that system that they're constantly propagandizing us into accepting. Change that.
Okay.
we all can. It's totally doable. We gotta all just go, yeah, enough. That doesn't work. We're not doing that no more.
Well, I want that. I want that more than I want regulation. I would much prefer to change the system so that it works for everyone rather than having more layers of people, of authority.
Yeah, that would be much better.
Yeah.
You got a poem for us?
Uh-huh. It's cool.
I really like your drawing for this one.
Yeah, thanks. The Young. They always teach the young about the bank and the police station, but they never tell them about the cuckoo clocks behind their faces or the ghost whales swimming in the streets. They say look both ways and don't eat drugs, but they never say God is copulating with your field of consciousness and they are both a dream that you are having, or that you can start over from scratch whenever you want. Who is going to teach them that grown-ups get hurt, but their wounds can fill the air with butterflies? Who is going to teach them about the friendly moss gargoyle beneath their thoughts, that the sky and their eyesight are one thing? We will teach you, the young answer back. Your meat, it is tired from splattering against this old page, and your mind is a washed up accordion on the shore. We are unprecedented. We emerge free from the void. You do not fear for us. You fear the unfamiliar. Come rest your weary bones in our strong young hands and let your butterflies erupt and fill the sky. We will carry you. We will carry everything. We are the new. We are the young.
Caitlin is an entirely reader and listener supported journalist, so if you want to support her daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal, links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Medium, on Steemit, or on CaitlinJohnston.com, where you can get on a mailing list and get email notifications whenever she writes an article. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on.
Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady, they're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh Katie, keep speaking truth to power. We've got your back, so don't cower. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love you, girlfriend.